your mother, or your father for that matter, ever regard themselves as professional musicians?
No.
Not at all.
No. I think they were both realistic enough to realize that they were excellent amateurs who enjoyed playing, but I don't think they ever had any ambitions to become professionals.
Did your mother have a profession or a...
No, none whatever.
So she didn't, like, do your father's books or...
No, nothing at all. She was even a lousy cook. She was a very good mother, but a very possessive mother. Made my life miserable later on when I got married, her opinion, a little too young, and I married Pearl, who is now... who was Joan's mother, of course. I was going to say something. In Ruhleben, which is the name of the internment camp near Berlin, the old racetrack which had been converted, my father was very active as a violinist in the orchestra which they had there.
You have a picture.
I have pictures of it, yes. Have you seen the pictures of the orchestra, haven't you?
Yeah.
And music actually sort of saved his sanity because it gave him an outlet. They put on marvelous concerts there. They had Max Power there, who was a very famous pianist, German pianist, who became English, became a British subject, and they performed all the great piano concertos, and they performed Gilbert and Sullivan, the men dressed up and played the women's parts.
It was just men in the camp.
Just men in the camp.
And the families were...
The families were, however,
trying
they...
to make do on the outside.
Yes, of course. They just had to do the best they could.
And you would visit?
No.
You could not visit?
No, there was no visiting.
So how long he was...
He was there between 2 and 2.5 years.
And you were not able to see him at all?
No.
During that time?
Now, I remember very well when he came back. I hardly recognized him.
And he probably didn't...
Oh, of course, my mother wrote to him all the time. There were no telephones.
He was in Ruhleben, and you...
And we were in Stuttgart, which is about 500 or 600 kilometers south. What's the distance approximately from Berlin to Stuttgart? I imagine 400 or 500 miles.
How did your mother respond to that separation?
Well, she was very upset about it, and she was violently anti-German, of course. I remember how worried she was once when she got into an argument with one of the officials whom she had to see. She had to report to the police once a week as a foreigner, and she said to him in an outburst of indignation, she said, "It'll be a tragedy for the world if Germany wins the war," and she was scared to death. She thought they'd pick her up. Actually, nothing happened. We did spend one night in jail, all of us, before my father was sent to Ruhleben, before he was sent to the concentration camp. And my brother and I went to school, the Rosenberg Realschule, until the anti-British hysteria rose to such an extent that one of my teachers made the classic remark, which I will say in German and I'll translate it. He made me stand up and he said, "Ich weigere mich dir fortan die Milch der deutschen Weisheit einzuflößen," which literally translated means, "I refuse henceforth to instill into you the milk of German wisdom." You know, imagine saying that to a 9-year-old boy. I remember my father, after he got out, went to the principal and objected how they could have been so stupid as to penalize two young boys, my brother and me.
But that's begging the question about their stupidity in penalizing him. I mean, was he any risk to the... I mean, what exactly was in the minds of the German policymakers?
Simply that they were foreign, they were aliens.
And might establish...
Well, what was it with the Japanese?
The same kind.
I mean, as soon as Pearl Harbor started, anybody Japanese ancestry was suspect of being a spy. And all countries go through this spy hysteria in time of war.
Do you recall missing him during that time?
Not particularly. You know, a child of 7 or 8 or 9, whatever the case may be. Naturally, we felt that he was gone. But we went to school and we went hiking. And incidentally, on one of our hikes in the neighborhood environs of Stuttgart, I was walking through the woods with a couple of little friends of mine. And we met an old gentleman with a fur cap on, and he asked us what our names were, and we told him, and then he said, "I am Graf Zeppelin," and this was the great Zeppelin who invented the Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. He had an estate outside Stuttgart, and I remember very well when he died in Berlin, they brought his body down to Stuttgart in a Zeppelin draped with black cloth. And the Zeppelin, I well remember. Oh, incidentally, I forgot, before we went to Stuttgart, we spent about 6 months in Switzerland. where my father made some sort of excursion into the fur business, I remember very vaguely, because he had a cousin living in Zurich, and that was when I remember seeing Halley's Comet. That was 1910, wasn't it, Halley's Comet? That's right. That was before we went to Stuttgart. I think we went to Europe once, went back to South Africa, and then came back and went to Stuttgart. And I remember... Yes, I imagine so. And then I remember very distinctly this glow across the night sky in Zurich. It must be 1910, and I was then 4 years of age, you see. Now, let me see, we were then in Germany.
The war ended in...
1918. Well, first of all, let me tell you what happened during the war.
You got a scar on your leg at one.
Yes, that happened in Switzerland.
While
in Zurich, yes. I climbed over a fence that had spikes on it, and I slipped and impaled myself. I always remember the feeling when they came along and lifted me off like a pig on a skewer. We lived afterwards in a little place called Eggeri, which is a little resort town near Zurich. Well, of course, everything is near Zurich in Switzerland. It's a very small country.